I suppose we all know just a little bit about wells. And as I was thinking about wells yesterday, obviously I thought about a home where we had our own well, had a couple of them. And then I thought about that well that's located over there by the old Our Lady of Guadalupe Church, because I used to hear that thing a lot at night as I was trying to sleep. And then I thought the wells we see out on our irrigation fields, you know, those huge motors and spouting out water or sprinkling it into the air. But those are very different than the well that is spoken of in our gospel reading today. That well was a hole in the ground and possibly had a stone wall around it to keep people from falling in. But the only way you could get water out of that well was if you had a bucket and you had a rope attached to it. You had to lower the bucket, fill it with water, and then pull it up by the rope. A very different experience than what we know. There's couple details I really want to focus on about that reading this morning. The first one is Samaria. Now, that may not mean a lot to us, but to the Jews, that was very important, because the Samaritans were part Jew. I mean, they had some of the beliefs of the Jewish people, but they had intermarried with other groups of people, and so their faith had gotten all mixed up. And a good Jew would not walk through their territory. He would go around it. And to talk to one, that was prohibited. Notice what Jesus does. He goes right into the territory. And he stays there a couple days. You know, he reaches out to sinners. He goes out to those that are alienated, those that are estranged. It's a strong message in that. He wants to reach out to those who have been far off from God. Now, the other symbol there I want to look at is the well, but in a little different way than I talked about it at first. You know, the well in the Old Testament, and this may be a little surprising, had a kind of a marriage symbolism. You would say, why marriage? Well, if you recall, some pretty significant people in the history of the Jews met their spouse at a well. We have Isaac, who meets Rebecca. We have Jacob, who meets Rachel at a well. And then we have Moses. Now, I couldn't think of the name of Moses' wife, but Google came to my aid. Zipporah. Moses meets Zipporah, his wife, at a well. Now, could John be trying to tell us something with this encounter with Jesus with this Samaritan woman at a well? Now, think about it a moment. She was a non-Jew. We are non-Jews. She was a sinner. We are a sinner. Isn't it not possible that John was trying to say to us that Jesus, in meeting her, in welcoming her, was in a symbolic way wanting to marry all of us? All of us who are non-Jew, all of us who are sinners, all of us who are estranged and alienated from God. There's a certain nuptial meaning to that. Now think about that in terms of Paul's image of the body of Christ. You know, Paul wants to talk about us as being united, being one with Christ Jesus. And he uses that image of body. We are members of Christ's body. But also another image Paul uses even better is we are the bride of Christ. Check out Ephesians 5, where he uses that image that we are the bride. Christ is the bridegroom. And what he's telling us is that God, through his Son Jesus, wants intimate union with us. He wants deep communion with us. He wants, in a sense, to marry us. He wants to draw us to himself and cherish us as his own. And that symbol of the woman at the well and how Jesus opened up to her, how he welcomed her, speaks to the way that he wants to treat each and every one of us. He wants to draw us to himself. Indeed, he wants to make us one with him. Now notice that, like I said, Jews didn't talk to Samaritans, and even also, a good Jew would not talk to a woman in public. Jesus does both. He asks her for something. He says, "Give me a drink." And then later he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Then he says, "Everyone who drinks this water from the well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become a spring, welling up to eternal life." Notice what he's promising. Yes, the water from that well, you'll just have to come back and drink more. But if you come to me, I will satisfy your deepest thirst. St. Augustine, on reflecting on this passage, says, "The well is a symbol of the world. And how when we live by the things of the world, we have to keep going back for more. Because the things of the world are like the water from that well. They never fully satisfy us. It's never permanent. They satisfy us for a moment, and then we got to go back for more." He's talking there about our sinfulness. How do we keep turning to the things that we hope will fill us, we hope will satisfy us, but somehow they always fall short? It could be food, our addictions to food. It could be our addictions to alcohol or drugs. It could be our addiction to sexual pornography. It could be our addictions to our electronic devices. Or whatever it is that we go to try to fill us and satisfy us. And that's a constant tendency of us, to go to the things that we can see, go to the things that we can kind of get our hands on. But Jesus invites us to come to him because he can give us living water. Water that will satisfy us forever. No, not water to drink with our mouths, but water to fill our souls. Water to give us life, life that never ends. To those of you who are getting baptized, Jesus says, "Come to me. Listen to my word. Give me your hearts and your minds. Ask me for peace. Ask me for joy. Ask me for truly living water." For those of us who are baptized, Jesus is asking us to renew our commitment to him, to let go of the things that we run to instead of him. He's asking us to confess our sins, to find peace. He's asking us to listen to his word, to be silent before him, silent in our homes at times, silent maybe in the adoration chapel, silent maybe when we're walking in a park or in a forest or out of the country, to take some time to be silent with him, to let him speak to our minds, speak to our hearts, to touch us, fill us with his life. He really asks us to give our hearts to him so he can give life to us. We have to give ourselves away, in a sense, to really find ourselves. But if we give ourselves fully to him, then there's room for him within us, and he can give us life. That second reading, St. Paul tells us about Christ's love for us. He says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. When we were unworthy, when we were cut off and alienated, he died for us. So much does he love us. As Moses gave the people water from the rock, Jesus, because of his love, wants to give us water, living water. Water that will well up to eternal life.